Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches His people about life in the Kingdom of God.
We're studying the Lord's Prayer, and this is the second episode on the line, Lead Us Not into Temptation. Sometimes we don't work all that hard at avoiding temptation because we think, isn't it better to become strong spiritually so that you can face the temptation and resist it rather than just avoiding it and never knowing if you're strong enough? The answer to that question may surprise you. Let's dive in.
We're weak. We're weak, and our enemy is far more powerful than us, and we will fall if we do not pray for protection. And if we want that prayer for protection to be answered, we have to pray it in faith. That is, truly depending on God for victory, not depending on ourselves. So often we pray, God, deliver me from this sin, protect me from this, but mainly, deep down, we think that success or failure is mostly dependent on us. Right? Don't we fall into that? If I get my act together, I'm going to have victory. If I don't get my act together, I won't have victory. Period. That's the bottom line. And praying for help, that might help a little bit around the margin. But I just need to know, learn how to say no to temptation. It's true that we do need to get our act together. I mean, our actions do matter. There are things that we can do that will hinder the effectiveness of our prayers for help. But make no mistake, the determining factor in success or failure against our war against sin is God's grace, whether or not He answers this prayer for protection. That's what's going to make or break it. Prayer is not a little bit of extra help around the margin. Prayer is the most essential factor in victory. Victory is not a matter of how strong you are, or it's a matter of how protected you are. In our pride, we want our victory to come not from our dependence on Christ, but just from our own amazing strength and willpower. That's what we want. Sometimes people even think it's better to be exposed, to go ahead and just be exposed to the temptation so that you know how strong you are. You find out how strong you are. They imagine themselves to be more powerful than the enemy. And so in their pride, there's an attitude, bring it on, Satan. I'll handle it. We want our victory to come through us meeting the enemy on the battlefield face to face and coming out on top, not from hiding out in some bunker. Because of our pride. That way our victory will be due to our awesome strength rather than God's protective shelter. That is folly. It's pride and it's foolishness. Jesus did not tell us to pray. Now listen, He didn't tell us to pray, keep us from falling when we face temptation. He told us to pray, keep us from even undergoing the temptation in the first place. We're not like a soldier going up against another soldier. That's not the right picture. We're like lambs going against a lion. Even if you're a really well-trained, vicious lamb, you're not going to have a chance. When we come out victorious, it's never, never because of our own strength. It's always because of divine shelter. The person who comes up out of the bomb shelter and looks up at the planes dropping the nuclear bombs and says, bring it on, I've been doing push-ups and lifting weights. Foolish. Foolish. The moment we step outside of the divine shelter, it's the easiest thing in the world for Satan to defeat us. It's easy for him. And I can testify to that in my life. I look back on my encounters with temptation, and it's obvious that Satan can make short work of me without even breaking a sweat. That's how it was with Peter, Luke 22:31. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. You know, one farmer said that sifting wheat is the easiest chore on the farm. It's the easiest chore on the farm. It's interesting because the you in that verse is plural. He's talking not just to Peter, but all the apostles. He's saying, as God decides to let Satan off his leash and go after the disciples, Satan could easily defeat all 12 of them at once with one hand tied behind his back. It'd be the easiest thing he did all day. Winning the battle by fleeing and hiding, it puts a dent in our ego. So sometimes people will say, I don't want to avoid temptation. I want to resist temptation. I want to get where my character is so strong that I can just walk right up within inches of sin and easily resist because I'm so strong. I don't want to be 10 miles away hiding from some shelter somewhere because then I'll never really know if I had the strength. After all, doesn't God promise to give us the strength that we need for victory against sin? The answer to that is, God will provide the strength we need for unavoidable temptations. But venturing close to avoidable ones is not only prideful, but it's presumptuous. It's presumption. It's always presumption to put yourself in needless danger. J.R. Miller said, if we venture into places of temptation when duty does not lead us there, we will put ourselves outside the divine shelter. It's really true. You know, you picture like a little baby gets sick with some terrible contagious disease, and the mother knows that he'll die without her care, and so she risks exposure just so she can tend to her baby. That's admirable, and I no doubt God would honor that. But if someone else just wanders into the room, he doesn't have any duty. Duty doesn't call him in there. He just wants to test how strong his immune system is. Why would God honor that? The mother's action is courage. The other guy's action is pride. It's what doing that is exactly what the devil wanted Jesus to do when he told him to jump off the pinnacle of the temple. It's testing God. Jumping off a ledge hundreds of feet up to see if the angels catch you is a lot like putting yourself in a realm of temptation. If you do it when you don't have to do it, it's foolish, and you shouldn't expect to survive. Jesus didn't tell the disciples, watch and pray so that you won't succumb to temptation. It's funny because, you know, I guess I've always just read it that way. I've always thought of it that way. Watch and pray so that you won't succumb to temptation as though, you know, you're going to be tempted on the day that I'm arrested, and watch and pray so that you'll have the strength. That's kind of how I've always read it. That's not what he said. He said, watch and pray that you won't even be there when temptation hits. It's presuming on God when we expect Him to give us strength to resist a temptation that could have been avoided.
Is there a temptation that you have to resist more often than is necessary because you're not fleeing from it? Last time I asked you to recall the sins you've fallen into recently. Consider how your life is structured. Are there any changes you could make to place yourself at a further distance so you don't face those temptations as often? That restructuring of your life is what the Bible means by fleeing temptation. We tend to be reluctant because we have our life set up the way it is because that's how we like it. So to restructure it to avoid temptation is going to mean giving up something we like. But remember what's at stake. The stakes couldn't be higher. There is no harmless sin. Talk to God about what efforts you could make to flee the temptations you know you're likely to succumb to.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.